सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति 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 Value of values. It's a very interesting title, isn't it? The value of values. So the word value is used twice. The value of values. The second values we know. We know what are the values in our life. The values which have talked to us and the values that we have inherently brought with us. The basic value in life is do not do unto others what you do not want to be done to you. And try to reach out to others the way you want others to reach out to you. Everybody knows this. We are born with this consciousness. And each of us is very clear about how we expect others to treat us. How we like to be treated by others, each of us is very clear. We want others to be kind to us. We want others to be compassionate to us. What we want them to be. But we do not want them to be. We do not want them to hurt us, to insult us, to steal something that belongs to us, to cheat us, to lie to us. We don't want. In this, there is no exception. Every human being is very clear about what he or she expects from others. How he or she should be treated by others. We are all born with this awareness. And this is true of all living beings. No living being wants to be hurt. No living being wants to be killed. There is love for life. Every living being wants to live. We are born with a natural love for life. And we should qualify that statement because you may say, Swamiji, there are some people who want to die. There are some terminal patients who say, please pull out the support system. We even find some people committing suicide. Looks like that we love life does not seem to be a universal value. So we'll add one qualification. We want to live and live happily. Now, in this, we are all in agreement. You want to live and live happily. And I would not want anybody to come in my way of my pursuit of life and happiness. I want my freedom to pursue happiness. I want freedom to live my life. We are all very clear about it. We are all in agreement. The second part of awareness is very important also. But I know that just as I expect others to treat me in a certain way, that others also expect me to treat them in a similar way. This is where the catch comes. Just as I do not want to be hurt by others, others also do not want to be hurt by me. Just as I want others to be kind to me, I know that others also expect me to be kind to them. This is where all problems come. An awareness that others expect from me what I expect from them. And that is what sets the norm of how we should relate to each other. The norm of how we relate to the world is basically determined by this awareness on our part. So ideally, this is how we would like to live. We have this inherent values in us that I want others to be kind to me and others want me to be kind to them. That means that kindness is valuable to me. I want others to be honest to me and I know others want me to be honest to them. That means honesty is valuable to me. This is true for every human being. I do not want others to hurt me, others do not want me to hurt them, meaning non-violence is valuable to me, dear to me. So non-violence, kindness, truthfulness, honesty, charity, generosity, all of these are very valuable to me. I love them. How do you say I love them? Because whenever I have freedom, whenever my mind is free from any pressure, any internal pressure, then I always follow these values. I love to be a kind person. I love to be an honest person. I love to be a truthful person. That's what I love. So, I have a love for myself. But which self? They say that we always love ourselves. We never hate ourselves. Atmana sukamaya sarvam priyam bhavati. Whatever in life is dear to me is dear because I am dear to myself. In that sense, I am the most valuable one in my life. But which I? I love myself also, and I find that I love kindness, compassion, non-violence, truthfulness. Therefore, we should qualify the statement. I love a kind self. I love myself, kind myself, honest self. I love myself when I am kind. I love myself when I am honest. I love myself when I am truthful, non-violent, compassionate. Meaning that there are times that I do not love myself also. When is that? Whenever I find myself an angry person, when I find myself a cruel person, when I find myself a dishonest person, I do not like myself. So on one hand I love myself, on the other hand there is some self that I do not love. And therefore, how do we like to be? We like to be a kind, compassionate, good, honest, non-violent, loving person. That's what we love to be. And whenever I see Master, loving, kind person, I'm happy with myself. Is it not so? On the other hand, when I see myself cruel, violent, dishonest, cheating, non-truthful, then I do not like myself. You should know that. So really speaking, I am the most valuable entity in my life. But when I am kind, compassionate, loving, then that kind, compassionate, loving I is the most valuable thing to me. That is what I always love and always love to want to be. That is my idea. If a Swami or an elder person, whoever becomes my idea, suppose, it is if I find them kind or loving person. Nobody can become my ideal if he is a cruel person. A dishonest person, a cruel person, cannot become my ideal. In my life, it may be necessary that I have to live with them, I have to work with them, I have to accommodate them, because I don't have choice. It may be my boss, my spouse, my client, somebody who is, you know, who is important to me, I live with them, even if they are not kind, etc. But not willingly. They cannot be my ideal. I would never want to be like them. So understand that you do not have to look out at somebody else as to how to become. I want to be a kind, loving, compassionate person. I love to be that. And that is what we call a liberated soul. That's all that is necessary in life. Who is a liberated soul? Or, in the present terminology, who is a successful person? Bhagavad Gita describes a liberated soul, a successful person is what? Adveshta sarabhudana maitraha karuna evacha nirmamo nirahankaraha samadukha sukha kshami santushtaha satatam yogi. Adveshta sarabhutanam, one who never hates anybody. Sarabhutanam, who does not hate anybody. But anybody also may include those who hate him. And he doesn't hate anybody means what? In the world there are all kinds of people. There are people who may love me, there are likely people who hate me. He does not hate anybody, even those who hate him. Imagine, now that's the big deal. It's easy for us to love somebody who loves us, but then to be able to love somebody or be kind to somebody who hates us, that requires some inner growth, some inner development. Maitraha, one is friendly to all. Karuna, one is compassionate to all. That is a liberated soul. That is a perfect person. That is the real successful person. If you know what true success is, then we will seek to mold ourselves according to that successful person. In our heart, we love that person. And wherever we find a reflection of that person in somebody, he becomes my role model. Because what I love is a kind, loving, compassionate being. Self. And self, sometimes we like some people. You know why we like? Because in their presence, we find ourselves kind and compassionate and happy. Those people somehow make us comfortable with ourselves. Why? Bringing out from ourselves a kind and good person. So I like that person because basically I like that kind and good self. And this person becomes instrumental in manifestation of that self. So this should, one first thing that should be clear to us is, what is the most valuable thing in my life? I am the most valuable, not just any I. The kind, compassionate, loving I is the most valuable thing in my life. And understand that the saving grace or the consolation is, we are naturally that. That's where the Upanishad comes. Upanishad teaches us, it says, tattvamasi, that thou art. You know what Upanishad means? You are already a kind, loving, beautiful person. That's nice to know, but I don't see myself to be like that. You mean kindness, love, compassionate is my being, is my nature? Yes. That's what Upanishad says. But Swami, I see myself an angry person, sometimes a cruel person, not a very, very narrow-minded person, a selfish person. That's what I see myself to be, more often than not. Meaning, I have some perception of myself, and Upanishad or Vedanta or Vedas seem to have a different perception of myself. Who is right? So this is where the Shraddha comes. Shraddha means faith or trust. The Vedantic text describes Shraddha as Shastrasya Guruvakyasya Satya Buddhyavadharana. An implicit faith in the words of the scriptures and the teachers. An implicit faith in the words of the scriptures and the teachers. So word of the scripture is what? You are a kind, loving, beautiful person. That's their word. An implicit faith. That because that is what the Vedas say, therefore I am a kind, loving, beautiful person. But then I find cruelty in me. I find selfishness in me. I find quite the opposite quality also. The thing is, we find both the qualities in us. We look at ourselves. We do find ourselves kind, loving, now and then. When there is no inner pressure. When there is no inner pressure. But there is nothing inside me that pressurizes me to do something that I don't want. When I am free to do what I want to do, then I am a kind person. A loving person. There seems to be somebody inside who pressurizes me. And that question is voiced by Arjuna. Arjuna asks of Lord Krishna, Atha kena prayuktoyam papam charati purushaya anichchanda vivarshanaya baladiva niyojita. Kene prayuktayam? Impelled by what? Compelled by what? Pressurized by what? I am purusha papam charati. This person behaves in a sinful manner, then he becomes cruel. He behaves in a cruel manner. He behaves in a dishonest manner. He behaves in a self-centered manner. Why does he do that? Anichchannapi, even though he doesn't want, even though he on his own wants to be a generous, charitable, kind, loving person, why does he behave in this manner? What makes him do that? Meaning that there is something inside us that pressurizes us to act in a manner which is quite contrary to the way we would really like to be. I like to be a kind, loving person, but there is something within me that pressurizes me to be a cruel person. Understand, very important thing to understand. That if I had my way, my freedom, I would have been a kind person. It's under pressure that I become a cruel person. Meaning under pressure I become helpless. So a cruel person is a helpless person. A dishonest person is a helpless person. A self-centered person is a helpless person. Can you believe that? A violent person is a helpless person. One who shoots is a helpless person. By this teaching of the scriptures, don't tell me Swamiji. He gets an assault rifle and just shoots. How do those fellows are helpless? He is not helpless. But well, how do you determine whether a person is helpless or not? Maybe nobody is pressurizing from outside, but there is something that pressurizes from inside. Lord Krishna says, Kamesha, Krodesha, Rajoguna Samudra, Mahasano, Mahapapma, Vidhyenam Hyavairanam. Then there is lust, anger, greed, and a whole host of things like jealousy, resentment, hatred, all of these are included. All of these are included in krodha or anger. Kamesha, krodesha. Kama means lust. Krodha means anger. We should also lobha means greed. Yes, you know, these are the things that really pressurize a person to act in a manner that is quite contrary to what his values are, what he wants to be. Mahashano Mahapapma. And also one characteristic of this kama, lust, anger, greed is that Mahashanaha. It is a glutton, meaning that its hunger cannot be satiated. Regardless of how much you feed him, who can never be satiated. So, Analam, Lord Krishna gives an example of fire. Like fire. Like pouring butter in fire. How the fire becomes more and more demanding? So fire is called analam, analaha. An plus alam. Alam means enough. Analam never says enough. Fire never says enough. Regardless of how much fuel you give to fire, never says enough. Wants more and more. Similarly, Mahashano, this kama, krodha, lobha is a glutton. Meaning that whose hunger can never be satiated. More you try to satisfy your lust, you try to satisfy your anger, satisfy your greed, stronger they become, more demanding they become, and more helpless you become. That's the inner pressure which makes us helpless. Mahapapma, Lord Krishna says, the greatest sinner, meaning that all the sinful behavior you see anywhere in the world will be traced to this. People say, Swami, look at what's going on in the world. Look at the violence, look at this. All of them can be traced to kama, krodha and lobha. All this rape and assault and abuse, kama, lust. All violence, killing, murder, wars, krodha, anger. All corruption, dishonesty, cheating, lobha, greed. Mahashano, Mahapapma. And a greedy person can never be satisfied. There are scams in India where a person, you know, misappropriated 4,000 crore rupees and 8,000. What do they do with this money? I don't know. They want more and more and more. More you get, more you want. I mean, I talk about India, it's around the world. People were corrupt and the people were plenty. You can understand this little policeman asking 50 rupees from you. I mean, you can understand that the fellow has hardly anything with him. He asked for 50 rupees. Somebody asked for 50,000 rupees. Swamiji, what do you want? You want this permission from us? Here. So, all the evil in the universe is from these three: kama, krodha and lobha. For evil, Swamiji, why is there evil in this universe? The whole world is evil? No. The one saving grace is this kama, krodha, lobha is not our nature. They are intruders. The intruder, who is an intruder? Who forces himself into our house. When we are not watchful, when you left your door open, when you did not lock, when you are not watchful, or sometimes when you did not really recognize a person as to who he is, he looks like a very gentleman, he turns out of a rogue, when ultimately you allow him to, then he turns out of that. So similarly, because we are not watchful, because we were not discriminating, therefore this kama, krodha, lobha, all of them entered and now found a place, and now they seem to rule the place. And my true nature of kindness, compassion, goodness, all of this is what? It seems to be driven away, or it is buried underneath, and these fellows are ruling my heart. Therefore, as Ruchika said, how can you create the distance between the subject, object and the subject, the seen and the seer, the self and the non-self, as long as kama, krodha, lobha or anything like that is there, they will not allow me to create any distance. It is because of them that I get identified. Either because of identification they are there, and they are there, identification becomes more and more confounded. So to create the distance which you love, and if you are not a Vedanta, then don't go to the distance. You won't be a happy person. You don't want Swami, I don't want much in my life. I just want to be happy. He said, who is a happy person? A kind, compassionate, loving person is a happy person. I did not say a wealthy person is happy, name, and one who is famous, powerful. You know what they call? The wealthy, the famous, the powerful. It's nice to be that, no doubt about that. But there is no connection with happiness. Happiness is purely a state of mind. It is a subjective situation, a subjective condition. And when am I happy? When I am kind, compassionate, loving, good person. This should become clear. That's not clear to anybody, unfortunately. Everybody thinks that when you are wealthy, powerful, and what is the third one? You know, then you are happy. Famous, yeah. Wealthy, famous and powerful, then you are happy. We bless them to be. But no, that's not the right definition, not right understanding. What creates all problems in life is wrong understanding about the basics of the life. The wrong notion of what success is, wrong notion of what happiness is. We attribute happiness or success to the things which have no connection with happiness and success. And that's the most unfortunate thing. How we are so totally divorced from this teaching of scriptures. All scriptures teach that happiness is in kindness, love and compassion. Nobody teaches otherwise. And how come we have, so intelligent we are, and everything is smart today. Your computer is smart, your telephone is smart, your motor car, everything is smart. And we are smart. Such a smart person has a wrong GPS. Our GPS is wrong destination. What should be the right destination? Kindness, compassion, honesty. What's this destination now? What is it? The wealth, fame, power. That's the destination. All right, there's nothing wrong in that destination. Nothing wrong means, granted, have it. But what happens is, when these fellows, the wealth, fame, power, more you get, more you want. That's the problem with them. Na vittena tarpaniyo manushyah. Very ancient statement from Upanishad, where a young seeker says to a senior teacher who is making, offering him all kinds of temptations, says, keep them all with you. He Nachiketa, you are asking for self-knowledge. No, don't ask for self-knowledge. Take all this wealth and all this pleasure. Keep them with you. Na vittena tarpaniyo manushyah. A human being can never be satiated by wealth and fame and power. That wisdom is contained there. How have we lost that wisdom? I don't know. And how we are taught the wrong things in all your leadership workshops, management workshops, and whatever kind of workshops are going on. You find all formulas, achieve. I see this kind of formulas, you know. Nothing wrong in achieving. But not achieving for the sake of achieving. Nothing wrong with wealth, fame and power, not for their own sake. But the problem is that, in the beginning I want, I control them, then they control me. Our Swami used to give an example, that this woman has a dog. Every morning, she takes the dog out for a walk. At 5:30 in the morning, the dog is not woken up. So she is pulling. The dog is doing all these things. It's going to wake up. She has to pull it. It doesn't want to walk. For what? 5-7 minutes. Then the dog wakes up. And he's all right. Gets his energy. And then he starts saying, then he pulls her. In the beginning, I pull this wealth, fame and power. Then a time comes when they pull me. Now that is a dangerous thing. As long as I pull them, as long as I control them, as long as I am not pressurized by them, so long they are a blessing. Once I become pressurized by them, they become a curse. So I'm not saying that whoever has wealth, fame and power is an unhappy person. No, if that person is able to have retained his freedom in spite of them, it's a blessing. So have it. But unfortunately, human being mostly smart but not intelligent. He's not intelligent when it comes to the realities of life. Oh, he is intelligent when it comes to all science and technology. But when it comes to reality of life, he is not intelligent. That the wealth, fame and power can be a blessing, provided I have the... with freedom their blessing. If I become bound by them, then they are a burden to me. For most people, because people are not intelligent, therefore, for most people, this becomes a burden. And that is where the value of values comes. That we are born with this inherent or natural value that we love to be loving, kind, compassionate, good person. That is my basic love. That's basic value. But unfortunately, I am born and raised in this society. And I find that society has also these other values. Now, as far as the kindness, love is concerned, nobody will teach me because I am born with sensitivity of those values. And therefore, I would want to be that anyway. But then, as I grow in this society, what do I find? That way, you know, our Swami used to describe when I was a toddler has some different kinds of habits. A stage comes when a toddler tears off anything that he sees. Sometimes they throw away everything. Sometimes they collect everything. Yeah? Sometimes they throw away and give all the toys to somebody. Sometimes he goes to a neighbor and picks up everything. Sometimes he tears away everything. So these are the different phases they go through. As a toddler, I was in a phase when I tear off anything that comes in my way. My mother was very watchful, she would watch me. And generally not object to what I was doing, some piece of newspaper and stuff like that. Once, a green piece of paper came in my hand, and I was about to tear that, and she said, "No! Don't tear that!" I did not understand why. Why didn't she want me to tear this? She snatched it away from my hand. Okay. After some time, my mother went to a store for some shopping and I just, you know, went with her. Although usually she doesn't want to take me with her because, you know, you, every time you come with me, you want this and that. I don't want you. So, "Mom, I will not ask for anything. Please take me with you." So it's a store, mother goes inside and I'm out here at the cash counter. The cashier is standing, you know, and there are huge jars. What candies? Even though I promised my mother, I will not ask for anything. As that man who is standing in the counter, "Please give me a candy." He doesn't respond. "May I have a candy?" "No." Quite upset. "This man has so many candies, does not give me one candy." My mother came back from shopping. I said, "Mom, he doesn't give me a candy." Then mom produced a green piece of paper and gave him, and then that fellow gave the candy. "Oh, you can buy candy if you have green piece of paper." So since candy is important to me, toys are important to me, and as I grow older and older, different things keep becoming important to me, and all those things always require green piece of paper. That's how the green back became important to me. And my father was a bank manager. I observed that every Deepavali, you know, many people would come and bring all gifts for him, boxes of sweets and... And then, because my father was a manager, and so whenever mother needed any help, she would call and then somebody would come from the bank and help her in doing all kinds of work. I realized my father is an important person. He enjoys as bank manager. He has some power. If you have power, you can get all these things done. So wealth, power, fame. Because when you read newspaper, whose pictures come on the front page? The famous people. And who doesn't want to appear on the front page of newspaper? I would love one to be. Because everybody, you see, everybody respects them, everybody honors them. They don't honor anybody who is unknown. So I want to be well known like them, I want to be healthy like them, I want to be powerful like them, because the world thinks that they are successful people. I want to be successful. So that is how the wealth, fame, power also become important to me. We can call them acquired values. So we have natural or inherent values and we have acquired values. These acquired values that create pressure in me. How? Now when it comes to choice between, so whenever I'm about to do anything, both these values try to dominate me, control me, influence me. And last year I told you the story, he reminded me how I told the story. story of my passing through the customs. There, the customs officer asks me if I have some dutiable goods to declare. And now there are two fellows within me. One fellow, my natural value, being honest, which is what I like to be. That voice tells me, Swamiji, declare what you have. And the required value for what? Money. Which is what? Supports or nourishes or fattens or feeds my greed. So then that greed also raises its voice. It says, hey, what do you mean? Declare to him. 50,000 is not a small number. So you don't have anything. You are a Swami, he'll let you go. So this is called pressure. What's the pressure? The greed puts pressure on me. To what? Violate my value. So Arjuna says, what is it that pressurizes a human being to violate his values and go against his own values? This is greed, anger, lust, jealousy, competition. Meaning that we are given values today in the system in which you live. The so-called market economy, the capitalistic system, the bottom line system, that values, what does it value? It values success. Success in terms of what? Wealth, fame, power. And there were what this system, in fact, invokes from me is my greed. You want more promotion? You want higher raise? You jump from one job to the other? I got Swamiji, I got a big raise, I got a big jump, I got this, that and what not. I'm working 12 hours a day, 14 hours a day, because naturally then you jump and then they will make sure that they extract the most out of you. And they keep you insecure also. If you don't meet this deadline, if you don't meet this, if you don't meet that, your disposal, and there are always stresses and pressures. Because that wealth, fame and power is important to me. And unfortunately, since I don't have the right education of what I'm seeking in my life, not realizing that the real success is, real happiness is, or what I'm really seeking is, being a kind, compassionate, beautiful, good person. I have concluded that I want to be a wealthy, famous, powerful person. And that I can be provided, I'm greedy, I'm competitive, I'm angry, I'm dishonest. Up to a point I can remain honest and achieve those things, but a point comes when they start dragging me. Up to a point I control the fame, etc., no problem. A point comes when the wealth, fame and power, they start controlling me, like the dog pulling the owner. That is when compromise of value. That is when my true values lose in the back. There is a battle inside between what we call the gods and demons. Meaning my kindness and compassion which stands for the gods or the divine attributes, and this greed, etc., which are the demonia. There is a fight between them, and more often than not, they win because they have a larger army. Upanishad says, Dvayaha prajapatyaha. This prajapati has two kinds of progeny. Devaha asuraha. The gods and demons are the two kinds of progeny that prajapati, the creator, has. Of them, the demons are large in number and stronger. In the battle, more often than not, the devatas lose the battle. they are driven away into exile. These are the stories we always read in our Puranas. That battle goes on inside. So this is where the value of values comes. What are the values? You know, kindness, compassion, goodness, charity are the values. Why? Because they are valuable to me, that's what I like to be. But then how come I find myself compromising them, Swamiji? If you think that honesty is what I love, how can I find myself dishonest sometimes? If kindness is my value, how come I find myself cruel, angry sometimes, or greedy? Why do I find myself to be so? Why does a person behave in a dishonest manner? Why does a person lie? Why does a person cheat? Why does a person hurt? That is because he does not know the value of values. He does not know how valuable that kindness is, how valuable the honesty is, how valuable non-violence is. He doesn't know that. He has discovered the value for wealth, fame and power. That value is discovered because it is very evident in the whole world. Nobody will teach me that they are valuable. I have discovered them by my experience. Meaning that, by my own experience, the wealth and fame and power are valuable to me because the whole world values them and therefore I also value them. But I do not know how kindness and compassion, if they are valuable or not, and they are compromised. Not only that, but suppose you are kind, so what does he get out of that? If you suppose pay 50,000 rupees to that customs officer, then you come out, your friends ask you, Swami, did you pay duty? He said yes. And they laugh at you. They're stupid. Meaning that even the world does not seem to value for kindness. So we have not recognized the value of true values, namely kindness and compassion. And that's what we need to recognize. If they become valuable to us, then alone we can practice them. Otherwise, we will naturally choose that which is most valuable to me. And if wealth and fame and power are valuable to me, then they will always control me. They will always pressurize me, and they will always win. And my kindness and honesty will always lose. Meaning that I will progressively become unkind, dishonest person. And so, what happens when I become a cruel or dishonest person? I become an unhappy person. No, that is not understood. Human being does not recognize that. It is his own mind that makes him unhappy. It is his own mind that can make him happy. His own mind makes him unhappy. Which mind makes him happy? A kind, compassionate, loving mind makes him happy, and a dishonest, cruel, angry mind makes him unhappy. That also we don't know. We think that the cause of my unhappiness is out there. You make me unhappy, that's what I think. Problem is, where does unhappiness come from? We've taken for granted that unhappiness comes from the world. Swamiji, my spouse, my boss, my mother, my neighbor. So our Swamiji asks when somebody, hey, you look sad this morning, what's the problem? Swamiji, I've not received a letter from my parents since last 3 months, so I'm sad. You are sad, what's your problem? Swamiji, I received a letter this morning. You seem to be sad. What's the problem? Swamiji, I don't get married. I'm not able to get married. What about you? I am married. What's your problem? I don't have children. What's your problem? I have children. meaning that the cause of my sadness or unhappiness lies outside. This is my conclusion. And therefore, my effort is all the time to rearrange them, change them, correct them, manipulate them. All the time I manipulate the world. That's what I do. I use all my cleverness, my smartness, my power, whatever is at my, whatever abilities I have at my disposal, I use to manipulate, so that they become favorable to me. Because I conclude that happiness comes from there, or unhappiness also comes from there. Wrong conclusion? Wrong GPS? What's the right GPS? It is my mind that makes me happy, my mind makes me unhappy. Which mind makes me unhappy? An unkind, a self-censored, an uncharitable, non-accommodative mind makes me unhappy. And a kind, charitable mind makes me happy. So if I want happiness and success, then I should be working for that mind. No, but Swami, success is in wealth and name and fame. Well, how do you say that? So, now we have to again ask a question. What does it mean to be successful? When do you feel that you are successful? Don't see, we always look at the world to determine whether I am successful or not. We should look at ourselves, whether my mind tells me I am successful or not. So, when do I feel successful? Let us give a simple answer. When my desire is satisfied, then I'm successful. When I'm honored, I'm successful. When I'm respected, I'm successful. All right, I'm honored, I'm respected, I had my way, that's called desire, my expectation, my demands, desire satisfied, I'm successful. I can have my way, my sway. Okay. So suppose that happens to you, when you feel successful, what happens in your mind? At that time, you feel that you are something. You feel that you are worthy. You feel that you are... So, there is a momentarily a self-acceptance. When I have my way, when you do what I want you to do, then I feel I must be all right, because you do what I want you to do. When you respect me, I think I must be all right. When you honor me, I think I must be all right. So when do I feel successful? When I find that I'm all right in my own perception. When I find I'm all right in my perception, not in your perception. If the whole world tells me that Swami, you are a wonderful person, I know he doesn't know what I am. Very often we say, Swami, you don't know what I am. Otherwise you won't say it. So, what matters ultimately is what? My approval of myself, not somebody else's approval. Although unfortunately, since I do not approve of myself normally, I am seeking approval from others, and thereby I work hard and kill myself to get your approval. So when you approve of me, I feel that I must be approvable. And that is how I approve myself. So what is success? When I approve myself. Otherwise, when people are, so famous, or is a prince, why should a person commit suicide? Whether he did or not, I do not know. What I'm saying is, his life is miserable. what amount of pain and misery the person was suffering, what kind of drugs and things he was taking, and with the overdose of drugs, or I don't know what it is. But the thing is, all of this shows when a person is addicted. When a person is, he is helpless, is it not so? How can a helpless person be considered a happy person? Now, I don't want to make an issue with these people, I'm just giving an example. Then we find many, many famous people committing suicide and stuff like that. What does it mean? What must be the frame of mind inside? Does he think that he is a successful person? Does he think he is a happy person? A happy person would never commit suicide, because I want to live and live happily. If I am living happily, I would never want to die. That I want to die means what? I am not happy. I don't see myself happy. So without any inquiry or without any research or investigation, we've taken for granted that the criteria for success or happiness are out there in terms of the fame and power and wealth and respect and whatever. But the success or happiness is an inner criterion. What is it? When I accept myself. When I approve of myself. When I'm happy with myself. So that all that I want in my life, if you say that what I want in my life is success or happiness, it amounts to this simple thing. All I want is, I just want to be happy with myself. That's all I want. Nothing else. When can I be happy with myself? Simple. When I'm kind, compassionate, loving. When am I unhappy with myself? Cruel, cheating, dishonest. Meaning a kind, compassionate, loving mind makes me happy. And a cruel, self-centered, dishonest mind makes me unhappy. Not somebody else, my own mind makes me happy. My own mind makes me unhappy. This should become very clear. That's the GPS that Vedanta provides. What should we, what is, we already have that destination, not that some, we have to create that, we are born with the destination of being happy. We are born with the destination of accepting ourselves. We are born with the destination of being kind and compassionate. But something has happened here, some wrong programming has happened. Sometimes GPS wrong programming takes you someplace else. So, some wrong programming. What's wrong programming? That happiness and success lies in wealth and fame and power and X, Y, and Z. I'm taken for a ride. And not a pleasant ride. It's not a happy-go-lucky. And what is it? Merry-go-round. Some you say sorrow-go-round. How come the smart and intelligent people never think? Am I a happy person or he never stops to think or what? So thus, if happiness is valuable to me, if success is valuable to me, then a kind, compassionate I or a kind, compassionate mind becomes valuable to me. Then those values become valuable to me. And then if I understand, then what is smartness? To choose that is valuable and let go what is not valuable. So this is where the choice comes. That is where the uniqueness of a human being comes. A human being has been gifted or privileged to have what we call a free will, the freedom of making choice. And Vedanta teaches, gives us the right GPS. What is it? What choice to make? We have the faculty or freedom to make the choices, and we should make intelligent, smart choices, intelligent choices. So now when it comes a choice between honesty on one hand, and money on the other hand. I should know very well that honesty means happiness, means self-acceptance, being comfortable with myself, being happy with myself. I will choose that and let go that money. But that's not easy, Swamiji. That's not easy. Why? Because I'm not being controlled by them. In order, therefore, to choose a value and let go of those temptations is a difficult thing. Because right now they are controlling me. And therefore, I have to make a strong effort to extricate myself from their control. Difficult in the beginning, but they keep on doing, becomes less and less difficult. But that difficult thing also I'll be willing to do, provided I'm clear that this is the right choice. More the clarity is, so the clarity is very important. More the clarity is, more clear I'm about values, more strength I will have to make the right choice, because that clarity will give me an inner strength. Swami, what you're doing is right, don't worry. If I'm not clear, then both of them have sway over me, and very often the dishonest fellow wins. Thus, value of values. These values are most valuable to me because they represent myself. Don't think that kindness is different from me, that is I. As we told you, Upanishad teaches tattvamasi, that thou art. Meaning what? You are inherently a kind, loving, good, beautiful person. That's what you are. And that's why we love that. Because love for ourselves is natural. So we love those values. And therefore, if I have no pressure, it's not that I am a dishonest person, not always dishonest. He's honest 90% times, or 99% times. Because there is no pressure. When the pressure comes, then person becomes dishonest. Meaning when he becomes helpless. Understand that this dishonesty or greed or violence, all of these are signs of helplessness and not signs of strength. We think that the person who shoots is a strong person. Not at all. He is a helpless person. And that is why Mahatma Gandhi, he says, the only way you can get freedom is by becoming free from within yourself, by becoming really strong people, and by following these values, correct values. His life went in teaching this. This freedom was a secondary thing for him. The true freedom can come only when you become free from within yourself. Indians are slaves because they are slaves of their greed and anger, you know, stuff like that. That's why the people enslave you. First become free from within yourself. And what freedom are created in people? The people were willing to give their life for the sake of a cause which they had. He gave them a cause, freedom. And when that became valuable, even the life also, people gave their life. Thousands of people died, were killed, and thousands were mutilated, hurt, they were injured and mutilated for the whole of their life. They're in prison, and then in prison, those fellows were so cruel. I should not utter the names, they're very cruel people, those who ruled India, very cunning, very cruel. In their wheat flour or something from which they make chapa, they would mix cement in there and stuff like that. That ruined the stomach of these people, and they were for the whole life, they were miserable. But they went through it. What I'm saying is how a commitment to the value gives us the inner strength to be able to confront any situation. The question was, Swami, What's the difference between the fear and courage? The courage comes like this. Not just showing something, you know, outwardly, but discovering that strength within ourselves. The real courage comes. The real, we are talking about self-esteem. Talking about the leadership. When does self-esteem come? When I accept myself, when I approve of myself, then the self-esteem comes. Otherwise, I don't have a self-esteem. None of these fellows, they don't have self-esteem, I can guarantee you. Who has self-esteem? Who thinks, then I think that I'm a worthy person. When do I think I have a self-worth? When I'm an honest person, then alone I have self-worth. I cannot have self-worth when I'm a dishonest person. Not possible. So to discover self-esteem, self-worth, which are required for leadership, for success in life. So don't think that these people are not only successful materially, they will be successful materially also. So who is a successful person? Who is a good leader? Who is a good leader? Who can lead? Who can make right decisions? Who can make right choices? When can you make right decisions? When you are in your right mind, not otherwise. Is it not so? When my mind is controlled by jealousy or greed, etc., I cannot be in my right mind. I cannot make right decisions. Even to make right decisions, my mind must be in the right place. Meaning that a kind or compassionate person is more likely to be making right decisions than a jealous person. If my decisions are influenced by jealousy, by resentment, by revenge, that he did better than me, I want to do better than him, by competition, by jealousy, in all likelihood, those decisions are not going to be right. Therefore, for making right decisions, for setting an example, Lord Krishna says that a leader should set an example. Not simply teach, not simply preach, but then he should in fact set an example for those who are following him. Yandidatir Vishrishta Tatta Deve Tarojana Sayat Praman Kurude Lokastadinavatate. Lord Krishna says that whatever a leader does, automatically his followers, they imitate him. Because followers don't have their own brain and they imitate what the leader does. Meaning that a leader should set an example by his own behavior. So don't think that these kind of people are not successful, they are successful. Maybe it may take a little longer time than others, but ultimately we have everywhere in all the countries, there are honest business people, honest leaders, there are. And they are the people who are really respected by the society. We may, because of our need, we may respect outwardly somebody who is in power, but inwardly we respect a person who is only a kind and compassionate person. Inwardly we don't respect those persons who are dishonest. We may accommodate them, we may, live with them, we may have to do whatever, because we are helpless. But otherwise, so if I am the most valuable to me, if I want to live and live happily, then a living happily person is most important to me. Then only way I can be happy is when I am kind and compassionate and good person. Then those values are most important to me. And more clear I am. That is where some deliberation is required. That's where we have to spend time. Things don't come just like that. Because I spend a lot of time in discovering value for wealth and fame and power. A long time has gone in creating values for those things. And therefore, a time will be required to create values for this also, for kindness also. Therefore, we require time, we require dedication, we require clarity. As they start becoming important to us, we'll be able to practice them in the life. Otherwise, we're helpless. Like Duryodhana. Duryodhana was a very powerful person. And still he says to somebody, So you are a learned person. How come you are behaving like this? Janami dharmam nacheme pravrittihi. I know what dharma is. I know what righteousness is, but I cannot get around to do that. I am not able to do that. Janami adharmam nacheme nivrutti. I know what adharma is. I know what unrighteousness is, but I cannot give it up. How come? Kenapi devena hrudisthitena yatha niyuktosmi tatha karami. Someone sitting inside me, he controls me. The way he controls me, I find myself conducting myself. Now, what kind of an emperor, what kind of a king he is? A helpless fellow. So don't think that just because he's powerful and assertive and cheating and manipulating, that he is a happy or successful person. He is a helpless person. Meaning that when we find this violence and dishonesty, they may be very apparently powerful people, but they are helpless people. They have no self-acceptance, no self-esteem, no self-worth, and they were not happy or successful people. So when we understand this whole thing, the realities of life and ourselves, then the values become valuable to me. Then only we will be able to overcome our temptations, because temptations are there. I love Rasgulla. I love Gulab Jamun. In the last blood report, doctor said, Swami, you have enough sugar within yourself, you have enough sweet in there. No, sir, stop sweet outside. And you know, when Swamis are involved with Bhikshana, they always have these sweets, and not only one, several kinds of sweets. My old temptations always want to control me. And they also say, Swami, it doesn't matter. You don't eat every day. You come to our home once in a while. So one gulab jam is okay. So the conflict, the battle starts. Between what is right, in our words of Swami's words, what is right and what I like. Choice between what is right and what I like. If what I like is not what is right, I should have the strength to be able to let go what I like and do what is right. That's how the values become valuable. You know why? Because when we find that we follow a value, we find ourselves happy. Even though it may be painful to let go of that temptation, and then I painful, everybody is eating gulab jamun, I am not eating, you know. But when I can exercise the self-control, I feel happy about myself. Yes, what I did is right. So doing what is right, but overcoming temptation of what I like. What I like is temptation. When I can overcome that temptation of what I like, and show the determination and courage to do what is right, always requires courage to do what is right. I feel proud of myself. Happy with myself, worthy of myself. That's how I discover self-worth. That's how I discover happiness and success within myself. So they are the means of happiness and success in our life, the values. Oh. Some question answer? Okay. We have some. Anybody has questions before we conclude this? What about insecurity? That's it. Insecurity is also a situation in life. But sometimes, not always, but very often, we have created in our mind a picture of what security is. We have in our mind created a picture of what security is. That to have $1 million in my account is security. Well, this kind of a house is security. This kind of this is security. Meaning that I have a certain picture of security. When that is threatened, then I feel insecure. But otherwise, if I ask myself, insecurity, fear. So, if I really probe into what it is that I need, what it is I can do with, perhaps our picture of security may change. Our Swami used to tell us a story of this old man. He's a very wealthy person, in fact. Comes to Swamiji, Swamiji, I have everything. Big businessman. I can't sleep at night. I'm always insecure, fearful. Swami just do this for 41 days. No, this is a magic number, 41 days. Said, do you know cooking? I know cooking because I became this from poverty. So yes, I can cook myself. So do one thing. For next 41 days, you cook your own food. And make sure that you eat whatever you cook. So that then you do your own shopping. You do your own cleaning for next 41 days. Do that. No. I mean, he had a lot of reverence for Swamiji. Who will want to do this? But he said, okay, I'll do Swamiji. He said, I'll do it. It did not require 41 days for him. It required 10 days. Then he comes back to Swami. He says, Swamiji, I'm all right. I discovered what I need. I need 2 chapatis, little rice, this sabji, that's all I need. What am I worried about? So, lot of how we have created in our own mind, what will happen to me? So this mind comes, what will happen if I lose my job? What will happen? Find out. What will happen? Lose my job. Oh, Swamiji, lose my job. What will people tell me? Let them say what they want to say. Yeah, what my family? Let them say. Yeah, we will lose my job. I can't afford this apartment. Okay, take another one. I can't have this car. Take another one. I can't do this. All right. You find that when you really confront that so-called insecurity, you find that you can deal with it. We just don't confront that fear. And we are just afraid of the fear. There can be, I'm not saying that insecurity is always like that. Very often insecurity is like this. There may be real insecurity, in which case you may have to seek help. Okay? Swamiji, I'm threatened for my life, you have to seek help. Or there can be a problem that I have nothing with me, Swamiji. What will I do? Well, okay, you may need help. And help ultimately is seek help from Lord. But very often we do not confront, and that is why there is fear as to what will happen. Get married, parents tell them, what will happen to you, Who will take care of you? Since my son doesn't get married, who will take care of him? So how do you know that he will take care of, how she will take care of him, or he will take care of her? Who knows? Who has to take care of whom? You get married because somebody will take care of you. Have a servant, have somebody to take care of you. Who will take, what will happen when I grow old? Who knows? Prepare yourself for that when you are young. If you are concerned about something that may be genuine concern, then all right, address it. So, insecurity also, when we confront it, perhaps in many cases, not in all cases, we may be able to handle it. And not that you actually things will happen, but sometimes you take the worst case scenario, suppose you do that, and then you know that you can deal with it, then you are assured. Then you can go along with it. And pray, of course, seek help. Pray to Lord, I feel insecure, please help me. Hanuman Chalisa, do something, that gives you a little strength inside. Yes, it has. We do require that. Then prayer, seeking help from Ishvara, all of that should be included in our daily routine, no doubt about that. We can't be proud that I can do everything for myself, not at all. There should be humility and therefore, yes, we should seek help also. So prayer should also become a daily routine in our life, should be included in our daily routine. Yes. Temporary happiness and permanent happiness. Happiness is happiness, really. So what is temporary and what is permanent? You know, sometimes in a small lake or a pond of water, there's clear, cool water, but sometimes covered by moss, you know, that green thing. So you want to drink water, you remove that moss, drink water, it comes back. Oh, the sun is shining in the sky, and covered by the clouds, and then the clouds move away, and you have a glimpse of the sun, and the clouds come back, and the sun again is lost. So temporary shining is when you have a glimpse of the sun. Permanent shining is when the sun is shining, fine, so permanently shining. So what is this temporary shine? Is in something that covers the sun. Moves away and gives us a glimpse of the sun. So temporary happiness is when the effort in our life is to keep on removing those clouds. And they come back and come back. Or do something so that the clouds are removed forever. Happiness is only one. Light is only one. And that is sunlight. We call it temporary light when there is clarity, when the clouds come back. So suppose something we do, otherwise clouds do not come back, then you have the permanent life. Similarly, the sun of happiness, our sun is always shining. There are clouds of this, all this stuff that we told you, you know, some cruelty and all of them reduced to kama, krodha, lobha, raga, dvesha, attachment, aversion. So that's a cloud. So whenever our mind is overcome by attachment or aversion or kama or krodha or lobha, that time you feel unhappy. But anger means unhappiness. There's no separate unhappiness. Jealousy means unhappiness. And what happens? Momentarily when my anger is satisfied, then there's a glimpse of happiness. But then stupid anger comes back. My desire is satisfied, momentary happiness, desire comes back. So permanent happiness can come when we can drive those fellows out. This following values, of course, one of the very important things. Right attitudes and values, by which we can slowly drive away those inner enemies and slowly move towards the permanent happiness. Because that's our nature. Otherwise you cannot, nothing can be permanent. As long as something is out there, or if happiness comes from out there, it can never be permanent. Because what is out there can be conducive only for a while. But since happiness is my nature, it can be permanent when those inhibiting factors are removed. And one good thing is, you don't have to wait for that permanent happiness. A little bit of cloud is gone, some more clarity comes. Little cloud goes, more clarity comes. Meaning that you follow one value and you feel happy, and in your self-worth, happy. Again, show the courage to do the right, self-happy. So as we keep on showing that courage, we discover that self-worth from ourselves, happiness, then we are more encouraged also. So here the result is immediate, the reward is immediate, because I am immediate, therefore. Yes, sir. Say, I am not able to hear you. Even the being kind or compassionate or loving or good, they don't conflict with each other. They are different names of the same value. You know what's the basic value? I, the self is a basic value. And so kindness, etc. are all name for Atma. Yes, exactly. Yes, sir. No, like devatas and asuras, like gods and demons. You see, we have to also pay attention, confront them. I have been giving a great value to wealth or fame or power. So why are they valuable to me? Why do I think they are valuable to me? What do they give me? I find that they give me happiness. Then next question is, do they give me happiness? Meaning that, when I become a millionaire, I feel happy. When I'm respected, I feel happy. Is it that thing that gives me happiness? Or it only creates an appearance of giving happiness, whereas happiness always comes from myself. Nothing outside of me gives me happiness, always my own self that gives me happiness. That fellow outside only creates a show of giving me happiness. Like this, you know, many years ago, I was returning from Bombay to Ahmedabad. In this season, the season of mangoes, and Bombay is most well known for its wonderful mangoes. So when you go to Bombay, you buy some mangoes, so big, two big, you know, baskets of mangoes I purchased. I was traveling in train, though the ticket said, you can't put this here, you put it in the break one. Okay, so those were, I went to the office and then registered them, put them in break van, got some receipts and stuff like that. Came back to my compartment and then we were traveling. It came the lunch time and then, you know, as it is in India, everybody takes out their own lunch boxes and then you talk to each other and share with each other and enjoy. So while we're having our lunch and enjoying it, the ticket checker happened to come along. Checking the ticket. We invited him. I said, come and join us, you know. And so we also shared some things that we had, some sweets and goodies, and he was very happy. This was about 12:30, 1 o'clock. About 4 o'clock in the afternoon, he comes back with mangoes. So he thought that this fellow's, gave me lunch and, you know, made me happy. I should return the favor. So he brought the mangoes and gave us each a mango. See, when anything comes free, it becomes more delicious. So this mango is very delicious to me because it came free. We enjoyed the mango, all of us. He was very generous in giving mango to everybody. Then came Ahmedabad station, I went to railway authority with my thing and then I collected the basket solid without mangoes. Because this railway fellow had the natural, he has the excess, everything belongs to them, you know, until it comes in our hand. Meaning that when I was enjoying that mango, thinking that he gives, it was my own mango I was enjoying. Similarly, whenever we think that the things in the world give us happiness, it's my own happiness I'm enjoying. They just create an appearance. So really when we analyze, anything that makes me happy? We find out now. If something makes me happy, really, it should make me happy all the time, or every time. It's not so. What makes me happy now may make me unhappy later also, which means that happiness is not the inherent nature of anything. And whenever I experience happiness, it's all my own happiness, what I'm experiencing myself only. It's an illusion. That's what I said. It makes a show. Happiness, peace, same thing. Yeah. Says Lord Krishna, asantasya-kutasya-sukham. How can a person who is restless or not at peace enjoy happiness? So there he equates shanti and sukham also.
ॐ पूर्णमदः पूर्णमिदं पूर्णात् पूर्णमुदच्यते पूर्णस्य पूर्णमादाय पूर्णमेवावशिष्यते ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः ॐ श्रीगुरुभ्यो नमः हरिः ॐ